Coming up right now from WNCW, it's the latest More to the Story. I'm Paul Foster. This week joining us is the writer on business and development at the Charlotte Observer, Eli Portillo. Eli, thank you for being back.
Thanks for having me.
Eli, let's begin talking about what used to be known as the area to Charlotte's Eastland Mall. And I've been around long enough to remember in the early days of malls, Eastland was one of those shopping malls that not only attracted the locals in Mecklenburg County, but neighboring counties in the region would drive in to go to what was looked at as the big Eastland Mall before so many others would come along. Of course, time has passed by. Things have certainly changed. I believe it's been some 8 years ago that the mall came to a close, and then a few years after that, it was actually tore down. Tell us about what's been going on since when it comes to what seems like it's been a long, drawn-out period to get development together.
Right. You're definitely correct about the mall's former appeal. When it opened in 1975, it was one of the largest and probably the nicest malls in the state. It had an ice rink inside that drew tons of people, and walking around Charlotte, talking with folks who have been here for a while, you'll still hear plenty of good memories. But it's been vacant and torn down for more than 6 years now. The site's just been sitting there empty, kind of like an open scab in East Charlotte. And several plans have fallen through. Plans to build a movie studio there fell apart. There was a proposal to build a fake ski slope and an outdoor entertainment complex there that fell through. Plans for a Hispanic-themed shopping mall fell through. But this week, city staff announced that they had picked out a new development partnership led by some Charlotte companies, Odell Architects and Crosland Southeast, among others, who are trying to bring a mixed-use development to revitalize the area. It's a little hard to envision right now, but they want to bring a development that would include hundreds of new apartments, a hotel, Cool Brand with hundreds of rooms, an FC Barcelona-affiliated soccer facility, which would be a big possible international draw and a huge draw locally for Charlotte's international and Hispanic community and local soccer enthusiasts, and a multicultural shopping and food destination called Taste of Eastland. So it's really an ambitious plan. City Council is expected to approve the partnership with a developer soon, but as staff were quick to emphasize, it's really the first step in a plan that's going to take, if everything comes together, at least several more years before it actually happens.
You went over quite a list of the possible attractions and living spaces that could be there. So just remind us all, how many acres is involved with that property?
It's very large. The full Eastland property was about 80 acres. Charlotte has sold 11 acres of that to the school system, which has opened a new bilingual part magnet school there, K-8. So there's 69 acres left, and that's 69 acres of empty, developable land, just 10 minutes or so from uptown Charlotte. So it's really a large site that the city is hoping developers will find attractive.
And would you say, when we think about this process, and you mentioned the many different things that were kind of on the drawing board that just never came to be, but what is the mindset of city council? Do they seem to be on the same page about the latest idea, or does there seem to be any opposition about what they've heard so far?
City council seems to be pretty much all on the same page with this idea. There's a lot of relief that there are some plans actually going now. But like I said, there's also a sense that even though on one hand they want to really, you know, tout this and talk about how great it's going to be, there's also a strong sense of trying to temper expectations, because that's been the Achilles heel of the Eastland site, is dashed expectations and dashed hopes. So city council members said a lot of things this week, like, we're not at the finish line, but we're at the starting line. We don't see the light at the end of the tunnel, but we're going into the tunnel. So a lot of statements like that, trying to remind people, okay, this is still going to be a long process.
With us right now, Eli Portillo from the Charlotte Observer, our guest on More to the Story. Let's now move our discussion to the very busy Charlotte Douglas International Airport. Of course, it's ranked as one of the nation's busiest airports. Eli, this airport has undergone numerous renovations, has continued to grow in recent years, and just seems like that's not letting up.
No, it's not. The airport is still seeing a lot of growth. This summer, 9 new gates in a new concourse opened. Concourse A North. That's about a 10% expansion of the amount of gates and the airport says they are all already full. If you fly a non-American airline out of Charlotte, you'll probably fly through these new gates. And there's about, 20 more on the drawing board that will open over the next decade once construction gets started on those. If you haven't been to the airport in a while, there's also tons of construction in front of it where there's a new entrance road, and they're about to probably next year start work on a total overhaul of the terminal lobby where people come in and check in their bags and do ticketing. That will be another huge construction project. Altogether, there's about $2.5 billion worth of projects either planned or already underway at Charlotte's airport over the next 10 years. Growth there shows no signs of slowing down. It's very busy still.
And I want to make sure I got that correct. You did not say the dollars going into this were in the millions. You did say billions, correct?
Yep, that's $2.5 billion with a B.
Just double checking, and good for Charlotte Douglas International Airport. Now, remind us, this airport is actually city-owned. Is that correct?
It is. It is city-owned but independently funded, and that funding doesn't come from local taxes. It comes from fees the airlines are charged, federal funds, and the actual biggest source of funding, surprisingly, isn't planes, it's cars. Rental cars and parking provide combined the biggest single source of income for the airport. So even though it's the planes that people come for, in a lot of ways, it's the cars that are funding it.
Do I understand that still after all these years that it is an airport that's still known for lower hub fares?
Well, there's a little bit of a contradiction there because Charlotte has grown so much because it charges the airlines very, very low rates, sort of like a Walmart model for the airlines. Low rates and fly a lot of people through there to make money on volume. But because it's a hub airport and there's very little competition, about more than 90% of the flights are operated by American Airlines. It's what's called a fortress hub in the industry. That means that charges for local travelers, flights starting or stopping at Charlotte, tend to be higher. So airfare in Charlotte, I believe, averages over $420 for domestic round-trip flights. That's among the higher cost airports in the U.S. The airline says that even though people might pay more, there are hundreds more flights a day than there would be at Charlotte if it wasn't a hub airport. Local travelers get convenience and hundreds of nonstop flight options that the city wouldn't have if there weren't a hub here. So that's a little bit of a contradiction and a trade-off.
He doesn't miss anything when it comes to the ongoing business and development of Charlotte, North Carolina. Eli Portillo of the Charlotte Observer, thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a good one.
More to the story also available as a podcast at WNCW.org. Thank you for joining us. I'm Paul Foster.